This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Today's show is coming to you from the River West Public House here on Locust Street in the heart of the River West neighborhood.
It is our latest. Yeah, go ahead and give yourselves a round of applause. It is our latest Lake Effect on-site. About a year ago, we kicked off this idea with a broadcast from the Wisconsin State Fair. We also produced shows on-site in Oak Creek and Bayview, and we are thrilled to be here in River West for this one. On an hour-long show, there is no way to include everyone who plays an important role in making River West what it is, but we think we have a pretty good sample and a pretty fun show ahead of us.
The full name of our venue tonight is the River West Public House Cooperative. Co-ops are a way of life in this vibrant, diverse neighborhood north of downtown. It is a place that sociologists have studied to learn why more neighborhoods don't function the way this one does. Whole books have been written on the subject. We spoke with Evie Perry on the show last year, but hers is not the only definitive book on River West.
Our first guest has studied and written about the neighborhood. He is the co-author with John Gerda of River West, A Community History. In his other life, he is managing editor of Milwaukee Magazine. Please welcome Tom Tolan.
Hi, Tom.
I fear we undersold you. We had you as the co-author, but you were really the author of this book.
John was the editor of this book.
Gotcha.
And probably wouldn't have come out without John's help.
Well, let's wade into the history a little bit. When did River West become a coherent neighborhood? I mean, is there a distinction between thinking of it as a community and as a neighborhood, or are we kind of talking about one and the same?
Well, I guess there were a number of different communities that formed in the neighborhood. Before it ever was considered a neighborhood, there were a lot of members of the German Milwaukee aristocracy that had summer homes all along the river in what they called Humboldt. There was a village of Humboldt that they lived near. And the Elines, who owned Schlitz, there was a guy named Kern, where Kern Park is now. He owned the biggest flour mill. There was what's now Commerce Street was a canal where they used water power to run some of the first factories in Milwaukee. But the first community here was probably the Polish neighborhood. The Polish neighborhood started down around St. Hedwig's Church on Brady Street, but it was growing so much that people started moving north of the river, north of the city reservoir, and into a neighborhood. They called it Zagora, which meant beyond the hill. They called the reservoir the Green Hill in that neighborhood, Zielona Góra in Polish, and Zagora was meant beyond the hill.
Nicely done.
I hope.
Well, in the bathhouse, of course, was just over there. You know, the ones that people were, the public bathhouse.
Oh, you mean Gordon Park?
Yes.
Yeah. The swimming, the pavilion down there in the river.
Yeah. So when did River West start to take on the distinctive flavor that it has now?
I guess there was the Polish neighborhood. There was a German neighborhood surrounding what was once called Jerusalem Lutheran Church, but it was really in the 70s that it got to be more of a countercultural area. You know, the first counterculture neighborhood was around Brady Street in the late 60s. It got a little crazy down there. And so people started moving up here. The rents were cheaper up here.
People started moving here because it was too crazy at Brady Street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just
making sure I had that straight.
And Kane Place, yeah. Yeah, so there was a lot of institutions that moved up here. There was a Kane Street co-op in the late 60s, early 70s, it closed down, and the same people started Outpost. They started on Fratney and Clark, and then they moved over to Locust Street, then Holt, and then now where they are on Capitol Drive. But that was really the first countercultural institution, and there was also group called Ishak was started out as political organizers on the east side, and they got quite active here.
I'm looking around this room right now and thinking this feels really River West, but there are a lot of people that are going to be listening to this on the radio who can't see what we see here. Can you kind of quantify what makes River West distinctive? Like, what is the River West zeitgeist today? It's public radio, so I can say zeitgeist.
I would say there's a certain amount of zaniness in this neighborhood and a sense of freedom and spontaneity that you don't necessarily see in other neighborhoods. It's a fun neighborhood. You know, the River West, when is the River West 24?
Friday.
So that is one of the coolest events in Milwaukee. I did it with my son last year for the first time, and it is just a blast.
It's interesting that it's in the middle of a lot of other neighborhoods that are a lot more staid. You know, the east side, even though it's got the university, is much calmer now. You know, maybe to the west it's not so much, but certainly downtown is much more commercial. But we're kind of in this little pocket, or maybe not so little pocket.
Right.
And it, I find it just so much fun to come over here.
It is fun.
Can you give us a sense, I mean, are there types of architecture that distinguish this neighborhood?
Well, I was just talking to Ken over here.
You're making our transition for us, in fact.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, Ken, can I tell him where you live? Yeah, okay. So Ken, who's from Blifford Hardware, he lives in a Polish flat. And Polish flats are not unique to this neighborhood. They're, you see a lot of them around Lincoln Avenue on the south side. But it's a, it's a building type that sort of was a, you know, an outgrowth of the Polish community here. People would buy a little house, or they'd buy a little lot and move a house onto the lot, and then if they got some savings, they would jack up the house and put a new foundation underneath it, and that would be an apartment for the mother-in-law or for rent. And so it's sort of like you saw in Laverne and Shirley, you know. I think they lived in a Polish flat.
So they got that right on the show.
Well, they got it right. I don't think it was a real
They got it
Polish
right in the
flat.
Opening credits,
I
anyway.
I think it was like a brownstone basement or something. But it was sort of, a Polish flat.
All right.
So speaking of housing stock, Tom, stay out here, but we do have another guest who can speak to the effort to preserve and maintain the distinctive look of River West. Anyone who lives here should know Blifford Lumber and Hardware.
For more than a century, the company has supplied builders and homeowners with materials and expertise. And Ken Converse is the store manager for the Chambers Street location just up the road here. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you here. So I'd be willing to bet that there are people out here who have a guilty pleasure of watching HGTV and all of the remodeling shows. So if someone moves here, if someone decides to buy here in River West, what are the kinds of household projects they are most likely going to find themselves having to do?
Well, a real common one we see is refinishing hardwood floors. The hardwood floors in most of these houses are going to be maple floors. A lot of them have been painted or carpeted over in the past. And people like to sand them down, refinish them to bring back the natural look. And a lot of them are actually in really good shape. It just takes a lot of elbow grease to get them to look the way you want.
A few layers to get through before you actually find those floors.
Yep. Maybe some staples or nails to pull.
Is it difficult in the 21st century to maintain an inventory of, you know, things like parts and supplies for homes that were not necessarily built to like standard sizes and, you know, things in terms of like both quality but also in terms of size? I mean, I know I live in a 1920s bungalow in Tosa and no two windows are exactly the same size.
There are unique differences between houses here and the rest of the city. A lot of the windows are going to be taller, so like the plastic wrap you put over your windows might not fit. There's other specific needs that the customers here might need that wouldn't need elsewhere.
But like what?
We cater specific moldings to properties in the neighborhood. We have a wide selection of different moldings you can choose from to match what you have in your house, and some of them aren't common nationwide. Because they were made 100 years ago, a lot of the manufacturers have gone out of business. So you try to match the profiles the best you can. And so we try to tailor each of our stores to the community that we're in.
Do you find that people are trying hard to keep the historic relevance of the homes that they're in, or are people coming in and doing gut jobs and saying, no, I want mid-century modern in a house that wasn't necessarily to be that way?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Some houses, they're trying to renovate to their particular tastes. Other people are trying to maintain the original design. And then there's historic homes, some here in River West, a lot in Brewers Hill as well, where you have to maintain a certain degree of historical accuracy. You can't have aluminum clad windows, you have to have all wood windows. Things like that that you have to cater to specifically for the historical homes.
Do you feel like a store like yours has a particular relationship with the neighborhood around it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, each of our locations are in different neighborhoods in Milwaukee. This is actually our original location. We started this location in 1904. Back then we sold lumber and coal at our actual site where we are at now. It used to be the rail line, the beer line came through there, and that's how the lumber and coal were delivered. They had all the original profiles and moldings that were actually installed in the homes that are built around the time mine was in 1905, came from our location. So they've been supplying the homes in this area with millwork molding and lumber since then.
So you really, if you drive around a neighborhood like this and look at the houses, you can pretty much figure that Blifford has had a hand in making the houses that you're driving past look the way they do.
Absolutely. The lumber yard was opened in 1904, and my house was built in 1905. So I'm pretty sure all the lumber that my house is constructed out of came from the lumber yard.
That's great.
That is. Could you give us an example of one of the most unusual requests that you've gotten for somebody coming in and saying, I need this, whatever this is?
The most unusual? I mean, there are a lot of unusual things that come in. I don't have one specific instance that would stick out amongst all the others, but there are always new things come in where you've never seen that before. A lot of old like cabinet hardware or door locks. An interesting thing about River West homes that's actually very common is these Polish flats that had gas lamps originally. And they don't install electrical boxes back when they put the electricity in, probably in the 20s. So they actually have the gas pipe supporting a plate that they attach electrical wires to. And people will try to install ceiling fans to them. And I have to explain to them that's not acceptable.
No.
So that's a specific one for at least this neighborhood.
It's a little more interesting than working at Home Depot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the nice thing is that we can tailor our inventory to match what the customers here need. And it's not something you see if you're working for a national chain.
Ken Converse is the store manager for Blifford Lumber and Hardware on Chamber Street. Tom Toland is managing editor of Milwaukee Magazine. But more importantly, author of River West, A Community History. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.